to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah onto the beach. Let's pray. God, in the few minutes that we have, I pray that you just open up your word to us, speak truth to our hearts, help us to look at our own hearts. And God, examine them before you, and I just pray that you would speak to us and help us to respond in a way that honors you. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jonah, man, he's going through it, isn't he? I mean, first, God sends this storm. It's tearing the ship apart. Now it says, the Lord arranged a fish, right? So the Lord sent a storm. That wasn't enough for Jonah. Now the Lord sends a great fish, and the fish swallows Jonah. Now, just imagine Jonah trying to tell this story afterwards, right? You know, guys who tell you fish stories, you know, you got these, you know, yeah, this one ate me, right? 3 days, 3 nights, he's in the belly of the fish. And, you know, you read that story, and I don't have time this morning to kind of go into this, but people will argue, is this a real story? I mean, did this really happen? This couldn't happen. A whale's not big enough. First of all, it doesn't say it's a whale, right? It just says a great fish. But could this possibly just be a story that's told for us to glean some truth from? And I just want to say this to you. You know, some people will come and say that's not true. The point of the story is what matters most, right? It's not about Jonah. It's not about the fish. Who's it about? It's about God. And it's about God's mercy and God's love. And so rather than argue with someone over whether this is a literal story or not, speak to them about the truth. This is just, I believe that this happened, okay? Let me say that first, but let me just say this to those of you who just pound your fist on, you know, wanting to argue with people over these literal things. Last I checked, when we stand before God and are judged, it's not going to be based on whether or not you believe every story in the Bible to be true. It's not going to be based on anything other than whether or not you believe that he sent his son, that he died for you, and you surrendered to him, and the blood of Jesus covers your sin. Okay? Now, do I want people to understand this truth? Do I want them to believe it? Yes. But if you get in an argument with someone, next thing you know, things get twisted sideways because you want to make sure that they know this was a true story. And you sacrifice the relationship. Have you really won anything? Okay, so just keep that in mind. I don't have time to go into that. I probably shouldn't have went there in the first place because we're short on time, but I think that's kind of important because this whole story is about God's love, God's grace, God's mercy for people who screw up, for people who run, for people who don't get it. So God arranges this great fish to swallow Jonah. He's in the fish 3 days, 3 nights. Interesting number of days, right? Jesus refers back to this story, telling the disciples what's going to happen to him. He says, it's like Jonah in the fish, and on the third day, he's going to rise. And so Jesus actually refers back to the story, which is one of the reasons why people say it probably really happened, right? So look at Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Okay, so he is swallowed by the fish. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. Finally, Jonah prays, right? I mean, he's been running from God. They wake him up and they beg him, you know, pray to your God, and he'd rather get thrown overboard. Well, now, finally, he decides to pray. And look at what the text says. I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. Jonah was in a bad way. I mean, he has gone through it. And here's a simple universal truth to remember. Rebellion leads to pain, okay? Now just remember that. Rebellion leads to pain. As children, rebellion against your parents leads to pain. Or at least it should. Not, you know, I mean, we can debate about that. And I mean, most of us probably experience that. We rebel against our parents. They bring correction. Now, do they bring correction just to punish us and make us feel pain? No. They bring correction, if it's done right, to get us back on track. God does a similar thing, okay? God brings a storm because he needs to get Jonah back on track. God brings the fish because he loves Jonah that much. Discipline's not a bad thing. It might not feel good when it's taken place, but when it's done properly, it brings us back to where we should be, right? That's what happens with Jonah, and God uses discipline in Jonah's life to get him to stop running. You can run from God, but you can't outrun God, right? I mean, you can run from God, but you can't outrun him. And so my suggestion is that we learn from the book of Jonah, and if we're running in any way or any area of our life, stop running. I mean, I know this isn't like, you know, super deep, you know, wisdom that you just, it's this simple. Stop, okay? If you're running, stop running. And then what? Turn back to God. God, forgive me. And God loves, first of all, he loves you even as you're running, but when someone turns to God, God's forgiveness comes in. Even look at Jonah's situation in Jonah's life. As he continues to run, God's patient and extends love and mercy to him. His grace, by his grace, he chases after Jonah in a way. And that's the whole message of the gospel, is God coming after his people. Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, while we were still sinners, running from God, God knew, and God, good morning, God chased us down, and he came. And he came into our world and died for us while we were still sinners. And all he wants us to do is turn around. And that's what he wants from Jonah. People have been running from the beginning of time. And people have been crying out to God in their distress from the beginning of time. You see that? Like Jonah goes, in my time of great trouble, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. You know anyone like that? You ever done that? When the situation got really bad, like for a while you thought, I can handle it. Okay, I got this, right? And then it gets really bad, and then you don't know what you're going to do, and you cry out in those moments. It happens all the time. God listens to the desperate cries of his people. It's interesting to me, the many things that we put our trust in, right? Jonah was, he was running from God. He jumped on the boat. He's trusting the boat to get him where he wants him to go. There's a lot of things that we put our trust in life. We put our trust in stuff. We put our trust in people. We put our trust in money. We put our trust in so many things, right? And those things the Bible calls, when they take the place of God, when they're central in our life, the Bible calls those things idols. We talked a little bit about that last week, how God will remove them from us. But I just find it interesting, these things that we put our trust in, even good things, right? Like family and things that maybe take up too much of our energy, time, and our focal point of our heart. In those moments of great distress, does anybody cry out to any of those things in that moment? When life is just like, when things are hanging by a thread, when he or she's about to leave, when all the money is gone, I mean, where do people cry out in that moment? Who do they cry out to? They cry out to the Lord like Jonah does. We don't cry out to our idols, which should tell us something about those things, because they can't save us in our time of need. Only God can. And Jonah knows that, and so finally he cries out. Now, some people cry out in that time of need, and they're desperate, and they're sincere, and they're saying, God, if you just rescue me, I'll do whatever. I'll surrender, right? And they mean that. And you've seen people's lives who have changed completely as a result. I'm one of those people. But then there's other people who cry out in that time of need, and they're desperate, and they say, God, if you'll just deliver me from this, I will. And then somehow they miraculously get delivered, and then like 2 weeks later, they're doing the same old stuff, right? You ever see anybody do that? Maybe you've done that. Maybe I have a friend who did that once, right? I mean, you know, I think sometimes we all do a little bit, but sometimes it's in that moment they're just so desperate, but they're not really sincere. And it's not sincere prayer. It's not a sincere prayer of repentance. Now, I want you to look at Jonah's prayer. Was Jonah sincere? Look at verses 3 to 7. You threw me into the ocean depths. I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, oh Lord, you've driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more to your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, but you, O Lord, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you. Just listen to this for a minute. I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was beneath the waves, seaweed wrapped around my head. There's a bunch of I, me, my, all these things Jonah's focused on. Everything that happened to him, all this was happening to me. So I cried out to the Lord. Does he talk at all about why these things are happening to him? I mean, the story is pretty straightforward, pretty obvious, right? He's focused on himself. He's focused on his circumstances. Now, hear Jonah's prayer. Now listen to the prayer of David after his sin with Bathsheba when he has his moment with God. Listen to this, Psalm 51, verses 1 to 4. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. You see any difference there in those two prayers? See, David's clear about his sin and rebellion, and he identifies that he's guilty. He's the guilty party, right? Jonah does a lot of talking about what's happened, and he doesn't have a lot to say about why. He doesn't own anything. He never addresses his disobedience. And then maybe you miss this little part of Jonah's prayer, but check this out. Okay, Jonah 2, 8, and 9. In the middle of his prayer for repentance, he goes, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercy, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Come on, man. Like, what? Why are you talking about somebody else's sin? Like, those who worship false gods, they turn their back on your mercy, but not me. Well, Jonah, let me get this straight. There's this boatload of people over here who you had an opportunity to save by just simply owning your sin. And rather than that, you force them to, like, you know, commit murder, you know, throw you overboard or attempted murder. And all those people who worshiped false gods, the scripture tells us they worshiped false gods. What did they do after they throw Jonah over and after the sea stops, the storm stops and the sea stops, the waves stop going? What do? Did they despise God's mercy? No, it says they praise God and they offer sacrifices. They do the very thing that Jonah says he's going to do. They actually do it. Jonah doesn't even say that Jonah does it. He says, I'm going to do it. And so he's talking about other people's stuff and not dealing with his own stuff. And so Jonah has this half-hearted prayer, God, help me, save me, I need you. And so God sends a fish, and the fish swallows Jonah. And don't miss this, and I'm going to kind of wrap up here in just a minute. Actually, Levi, you can come back up. God sends a fish, and it's like the final thing. It's almost like, to me, God finally wrestles Jonah to the ground, right? You ever, if any of you have siblings, especially boys, you've had these times where you wrestle with one another, or and you wrestle someone. You ever have that? See that where you wrestle someone to the ground and make them say uncle, right? And you get them down on the ground, you make them say uncle. Well, most of the time when you make them say uncle, they'll say it with their mouth because they feel like they're about to die, but in their heart they're going auntie. You know, or they're not with the whole uncle thing. And so I think that's what happens here. Is like God, as he lovingly brings these things to Jonah and chases him down, he wrestles him to the ground, and Jonah finally says, "All right, God, save me." But his heart's saying something different. So God tells the fish to do what? Spit him out onto the ground. Some versions say the fish vomited him out. Now, if it's not bad enough to be in the stomach of a fish, I mean, all of us went to high school. You guys dissect those things like fish or frogs. My son just dissected a frog not that long ago, and you cut the stomach open, and it's like one of the grossest things you've ever seen and smelled. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of stuff in there. So that's where Jonah was. If that's not bad enough, now God says, all right, he vomits him out onto dry land. He's lukewarm. I don't think he's sincere. God doesn't like things that are lukewarm. And so the fish spits him out. Revelation 3, 15 to 17 says this. Now listen, I'm going to kind of lead into communion with this. As God's looking at his church, he says this about it. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. See, I think it's safe to say God doesn't like things that are lukewarm. See, he'd rather have you flat out just living a life just out in the world away from God than being a person who's a Sunday morning Christian who says, I follow Jesus, and you say that, and then here you act a certain way, and then you walk out those doors, and you just live however. See, God, he says, I'd rather you just be hot or cold, but being lukewarm, it's just something that, when I read that, I mean, again, another version here says he will vomit us out of his mouth. It makes God sick to his stomach. And so, I'm out of time, but I want to leave us with that. See, Jonah, he gets delivered from his mess in kind of an awkward, gross way, and he gets thrown out on shore, and then we're going to follow up and see where his heart's at. But what about all of us? You know, where are we at with God? Are we fully surrendered? Is our hearts surrendered to him? Or is this kind of verbal ascension to, yeah, we believe, and particularly in a time of great need, we believe, but is our heart really there? And I just want to remind us as we prepare for communion, and we're going to sing a last song or two here. Jesus came and he died for the sin of the world. He came and he died for your sin. He came and died for my sin. God sent his one and only son because he loves us. Not just us, because he loves the world. And God's reconciling all things to himself. And he wants to use people like you, and he wants to use people like me to deliver that message of reconciliation to people who need to hear it. So he wants us to share God's love with the world. And so our hearts need to be in the right place. We don't have to be perfect. Jonah was a mess, and God still used him. So we don't have to be perfect, but we should be sincere. We should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourselves. And so this morning, what I want to do is just I want to ask you to stand. I'm going to close us kind of here in a word of prayer and just do a little heart examination. And there's communion off to either side. There's a communion table in the back. And as you feel led to go with your friends and family and take that moment with the Lord, but as we lead into that, I just want to pray for us. Like, where are our hearts? Are we lukewarm in some areas? If so, this is a chance to respond to the Lord, because he's gracious and kind and he loves us. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us, first of all. Thank you for, in this story, just seeing how you lovingly pursued Jonah. And God, even when he cries out to you and it appears to me that his heart's fully not in it, God, you still deliver him and you still give him another chance to turn back to you. So God, remind us of that. As we stand here, we all know we're sinners. We all know we have our stuff. But God, if there's areas of our life where we're just willfully rebelling against you, I just pray that we would take this moment to come back to you, a loving, kind, and gracious God who invites us to this table and to be reminded of your body that was broken for us, your blood that was shed for us. And it screams of your love. It's your God of grace. And your discipline is only for a season, and your discipline is always for a good reason. And that's to bring us back to that intimacy with you. So I pray you do that for us this morning. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you that we can trust in the power of the resurrection to deliver us from those sins. God, as we worship you, just continue to speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.